Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we glorify you and we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 12 through 17. And allow me to get the screen ready for us right up here. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, He Who Does the Will of God Abides Forever. Abides forever. Saints of God, the scriptures that we're going to cover this evening is very sometimes tough to handle, especially as believers. But here's the good news. Because God so loved the world, because God loves His children, we that are born again, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit, God has given us provision. And as we learned last week, He's our advocate. But one of the things that we're going to be touching on in these next few verses, God has given us basically a warning. And what is that warning? Is to refrain from sexual immorality. You see, our culture is now inundated with sex ads and all the transgender and homosexuality and all these things that we know that God calls an abomination. Okay? Adultery, fornication, all these things that it's so prevalent now in the times and day that we live in. But here's the good news. The good news is this, that Jesus came to set the captive free. Jesus came that we would have life and life more abundantly. Jesus came to help us believers to refrain from the culture. Because everything that we're going to discuss this evening, it's all about the issues of the heart. It's all about our heart, our mind, our soul. It's where our affections lie. Meaning, if you indulge in sexual immorality, you're going to sin before God. That's just the way it works. But if we learn to refrain and to keep our heart and our minds pure, God will honor that and God will fill us overflowing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. How many of you at home want to be used by God? I do. I want to be used by Him until He comes. And by the way, He's coming again. Oh, that's right. He may come this Rosh Hashanah, this Feast of Trumpets. On our calendar, it's going to be this, I believe, the 15th through the 17th, but it's Tishri 1 and 2. And could it be this Feast of Trumpets were gone? Man, I would love to. So I'm excited about this Bible study. Let's get into the Word of God. And so let's start with verse 12. And here we go. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. Praise God. And if you can hear the sirens behind me once again, it's perfect timing. There's an urgency in the land. There's an urgency right now. As you can hear these sirens that are going through these walls in here, it's live. Sirens everywhere. It should tell us, saints of God, that there should be an urgency. There should be a pep in our step. And we should take heed in the times that we live in. So let's go back to this word. We were interrupted by those sirens in the background, but that's okay. That's okay. Because God always reminds us there's an urgency because He's coming back again. Let's go back to the word. Let's start right over. Verse 12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Who are they forgiven? You, for his name's sake. I will write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is what? From the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome what? The wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. Praise God. Verse 14. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We're going to break all this down. Look at this in verse 16 and 17. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But look at this. But he who does the will of God abides forever. This is where I got my topic. This is where I got the heading of the Bible study is he who does the will of God abides forever. So, are you ready to break this down? Let's start with verse 12. I write to you, little children, because your sins, look at this, are forgiven you for his whose sake? For Jesus' sake. Praise God. Praise God. We are saved because of his grace and his mercy. You see, saints, the next three verses, it contains the two sets of triplets that describe John's readers as children, mature one, mature saints, and young saints. And the term dear children refers not to age, but is a term of endearment that John used for all those to whom he was writing. You see, my friends, Christ used the same words when speaking to his disciples. Praise God. Oh, yes. Let's go right here to the Word of God. In John 13:33, look at this. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, praise God, praise God. And so he was talking to adults, but he calls us little children. Why? Because we are the children of God. And this Bible is specifically for us who've been born again. It tells us what to say and how to preach the lost. But all we can do is take the word of God, plant and water the seeds of God, and only God can give the increase. Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, many had come to Jesus through John's ministry, so he called them his own children. And these true followers, saints of God, had in common the fact that their sins were forgiven because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. You see, they had accepted the fact of their sinfulness, had confessed their sins, and had been forgiven. Why? Because Jesus' death was on the cross for you and I. Praise God. Look what the book of Hebrews says right up here. Look at this in Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Let me just pause right there. Come on. You and I, some of us had a horrendous BC life before Christ. And yet, God has washed us, cleansed us, purified our hearts through the blood of Jesus, filled us with the promise of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? He remembers our sins no more. Man, that's not let's make a deal. This is the deal. This is what he has done for us. This is why we have been liberated. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so now we have the power of God to operate in the kingdom of God right here on earth. Oh, that's right. To proclaim, to preach, to teach, to raise up. Oh, yes. To even sometimes rebuke. Praise God. Praise God. I believe I have another scripture right up here. Look at this. Let's go to Isaiah 43:25. Look at this. I, this is the Lord, I even, I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. What? Praise God. Praise God. Somebody ought to be saying hallelujah. Somebody need to be shouting that home. Some of you need who are on your phone right now, just blow it up and say, praise God that Jesus has blotted out my sins and remembers them no more. Praise God. Praise God. Well, King David had given this through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at this. In Psalm 103, 11 through 12. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy. Say that with me at home. So great is his mercy. Praise God. Toward those who fear him. And look at verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions. Wow. What a blessing. Man, you need to shout it to the rooftop. You need to proclaim. You need to let people know. You ever been so excited to know this, to know what God says about you and I, the position that we have now in Christ? Don't you want to share it with unbelievers? Guess what? My sins have been forgiven. And we can then open that door that God will open for us and step in and say, guess what? So can yours. And that'll open up the door. Tell somebody one day that you just run into, or a friend or a family member or an acquaintance, and be excited. Say, guess what? My sins have been forgiven. How would you like to have your sins forgiven? Wow. Come on. That is a door opener, because some of them will be curious. What do you mean? Now you can preach the gospel. Praise God. Praise God. There are so many ways to reach souls, but you have to be bold. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to have the anointing of God in you, so that when you speak, you won't be speaking. The Holy Spirit will be speaking. And that's what will draw them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Son. The Father will draw them through the power of the Holy Spirit and by the anointing of God that's upon your life. And so don't be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. So let's move on now. Here we go to verse 13 of 1 John chapter 2. And he writes, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children. Why? Because you have known the Father. Praise God. Praise God. That's what it's all about. Because John knew this. John knew this for us, saints of God. You see, saints described as mature in their faith, these believers know Christ, the one who was from the beginning. And they have long time experience with their faith and have knowledge befitting their maturity. Described as young people, the term pictures action. You have won your battle with Satan. Praise God. Praise God. How many are so blessed that Jesus won? Listen, yeah, we're in a battle, but he's won the war. I need you to get this. That when we get to glory, it's because what Jesus had already done 2,000 years ago at Calvary. He died on a hideous cross. And he shed his blood for you and I. That alone lets us know that we have victory. We should never be in despair. We should never have anxiety and fear. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit in you and in me will enlighten us, will empower us, will give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. How many of you want that at home? Let me pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, those who are listening to this message, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will fall upon them right now, right in their living room, right in their bedroom, wherever they're watching this message. And Lord, that the God of the universe, hallelujah, El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh. Whoo! Thank you, Jesus. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Fill their hearts right now with the power and with the anointing and with the joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Bless them right now, God, in the name of Jesus. You see, my friends, Christians must understand that they are in a war zone and that they are constantly at battle with the forces of Satan. We get that. And conquering the false teachers, they had already defeated Satan, praise God, because Jesus did that on the cross. Paul's view on how Satan enters into false teachers is found in many places. But we find something similar to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at this. And a servant of the Lord, here's the key for you and I, saints. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. Praise God. Verse 26, and that they may come to their senses and escape. Here it is. Escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do what? To do his will. And that's what the devil wants, saints. He wants to, listen, it's all about, saints, the use of the past tense. Have won. Shows a battle won. And all those things of God, the war will not end until Jesus returns. We get that. And because Christ has already defeated Satan, all Christians, all believers, you and I, those who are logged on that are believers, those in our church and around the world, all Christians could go into the battle knowing that they are on the winning side. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? Oh, yes. Hallelujah. I got some scripture to back that up. Let's go to Romans. Look at this. In Romans 8, 31 through 39. What shall we say then? Look at that. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What? He who did not spare his son, his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he, look at this, not with him also freely give us all things? Praise God. Look at verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Let me pause right there. Who? Who could come against you? Who could come against us? Who can slander you? Who has the right to do all these hideous things to us? No one. Because the Word of God says nothing's able to separate us from the love of God. Let's go back to the Word. Let's go back to the Scriptures. Look at this. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes what? Intercession for us. And who shall separate us from the love of God? Hallelujah, hallelujah. The love of Christ who dwells in our heart. Shall tribulation? Paul addresses this matter. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than what? Conquerors. Say that with me. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Verse 38, for I am persuaded. Here's where Paul breaks it down. For I am persuaded, praise God, praise God. Look at this, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on, somebody got to give God a shout of praise. Come on, praise him at home. Nothing can come against the saints of God. There's an invisible shield over us. Yeah, we go through physical pain, then sometimes we go through financial trouble, things of that issue. But our eternal state, hallelujah, is covered by the blood. And we will one day, soon and very soon, meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and we will be with him forevermore. Look what else I found in Scripture. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, look at this. He wrote this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against who? the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Look at this. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to what? Withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet, look at this, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Praise God, praise God. Look at this, in verse 16, 17, and 18. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you'll be able to what? Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Be in your word, saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the what? In the Holy Spirit. Being watchful. Praise God. Praise God. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praise God. It's all about God loving his kids. God loving us. Watching over us. Making provision. Letting us know that nothing shall ever separate us from the love of God. You have to be convinced, saints of God, no matter what you're going through right now, that God is for us, not against us, that God is in us. He that is in this world cannot touch he that is in us. Hallelujah. Who do we have? Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Look what else Paul wrote here in Colossians. Colossians 2, 14 through 15. Look at this. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, what's your worry? What are you worried about? What are you fearful about? God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. I need you to understand that greater things are about to take place with the saints of God. We're almost out of here. We're going to see them face to face. Despite of what's happening to the world, despite of the wars and rumors of the world, despite of the darkness that's flooded the land, despite of all the shootings and the mass murders and all the sex trafficking and all the sexual immorality that's going on. For as gross darkness start to cover the earth, we, the children of God, our lights will become brighter. Hallelujah. We will shine in the darkness. And men and women will run to the light, for they are bewildered and they're tormented in the dark. Praise God. Praise God. So, let's move on now to verse 14 in 1 John chapter 2. And it reads, I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of what? God abides in you. And you have overcome what? The wicked one. The wicked one. You see, saints, this verse right here repeats the message of fathers and then amplifies the message to young people. Praise God. The overlap of the advice can be seen here where John wrote to you, to children, because you have known the Father. Praise God. And the phrase refers to experiential knowledge. Praise God. They knew who God was. You know who God is. Praise God. Praise God. There should be no fear. You see, saints, all Christians ought to have personal knowledge of God and God the Father. Through who? Through Jesus Christ and his Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Otherwise, saints of God, you and I, we cannot be believers. We can't. But we know who he is. We've been born of him. And the mature believers know Christ is the one who is from the beginning. Praise God. And they have grasped that Christ is eternal, thus are not swayed by false teachers and false teaching. And to the young people, saints of God, John wrote that they are strong with God's word, living in them. And he repeated that they have won their battle against Satan because of Jesus. And this strength is not the natural physical vigor of young people, but the power of God's word in them through the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God, praise God. So let's move on to our next verse in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Now it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is what? Not in him. Woo! This is where the rubber meets the road, saints of God. Hallelujah. You see, saints, believers must love God and love their brothers and sisters in Christ. But they must stop loving this evil world and all that it offers. Oh, that's right. Listen, Hollywood has removed God. How can we who are born again sit down and watch movies that fornicate, that kill and shoot, that abort, that curse? A lot of them will say bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ. Have you ever just turned that off? I'm hoping some of you won't even watch that stuff. Why? Because God said, don't love the things of this world. It'll stifle us. It'll stunt our growth in Him. And I want to feel His anointing. I need to feel the power of God every day of my life. So there's something that you and I must do. We must allow Him to sanctify us. Allow God to set us apart. For what? For His good will and purpose. Praise God. See, there's nothing that can be offered to us by this world's culture and by Satan himself, because it's all going to be cast into the lake of fire. You see, my friends, John was writing to those in the church who had remained true to their faith, and they withstood false teaching and had remained unified together with other believers. But John warned against a secret spiritual danger that could still threaten them, and it's the world. As used here, refers to the realm of Satan's influence, the system made up of those who hate God and hate God's will. You see, believers should love the people of the world enough to share God's message with them, but they should not love the morally corrupt system that's in place in this world. By whom? By old Slewfoot. Satan controls this evil world. His world opposes God, and his followers, temps, and everything, hallelujah, will try to sway you from God into sin. Oh, that's right. There's unsaved folks, and their whole agenda is to have you trip up. Why? Because who's their father? The Word of God tells it plainly. If you're not born again, then their father is Satan the devil. Why? You ever wonder why? That an unbeliever won't come to church, won't wake up praying, won't read their word? Because they have no desire. Because God's not living in them. The hope of glory. They've never been born from above. See, once you've been born from above, then the Holy Spirit comes in from heaven and fills your entire being, enlightens your mind, gives you ears to hear and eyes to see. Now you fall in love with Jesus Christ. Even in this frail flesh that we live in. And that's why Paul said, I now understand that there's a battle in my members. The Spirit of God wants to do right, but the flesh wants a war against the Spirit. So there's a battle. There's a battle. I want you to see this, what I found in James 4, chapter 4. Look at this. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. It's clear in Scripture, saints. Or do you think that Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Wow. Here's the problem, especially with brand new believers. They get excited about their faith, they're excited about Jesus, but yet they haven't learned to be sanctified and set apart yet. So they still mingle with their unsaved friends. And there are times, I'm not saying it happens all the time, but there are times where they get swayed away. And their short-lived Christian life dissipates. And they go right back out in the world. But I'm here to let you know that God is not done with them. God will still draw them back. Why? Because you cannot thwart the plan of God for someone's life. If God has already ordained a person's life to be enriched by Him, to fulfill the plan that He has, nothing will be able to separate the love of God, as we've been reading, as we've been teaching tonight. And so what's our responsibility, those of us that are more mature, to pray for them, to exhort them, and sometimes even rebuke them. But they need to know that God is for them and not against them. Praise God. You see, Satan will deceive them. He'll make them all think that God's mad at them, that they don't come back to Him. He's mad at you. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Can I get an amen? God's madly in love with His children. And so, saints, John wanted to show his readers that to attempt to love both God and the world would be as impossible as trying to combine light and darkness. Therefore, saints of God, when you love the world, you show that you do not have the love of God, the love of the Father. Let's go back to this right here. Look at this. Look what it says right there. I want you to catch what it says, because it says it clear. It says it clear. Adulterers do not, but look at this. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Wow, my friends, wow. You see, we're not to love this world. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Why? Because if you love this world, it's clear the love of the Father is not in you. You would have to pick and choose. And we're not to pick and choose. We're to embrace the Word of God. We're to embrace the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to embrace the Father in heaven. We're to embrace the Holy Ghost that's living inside. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. And so, my friends, these words that John wrote do not mean that believers are to remove themselves from all contact with this sinful world. That would be virtually impossible. Nor are they to stoically refrain from anything pleasurable. They do mean that, my friends, is that when contact with this very ungodly sinful world and its worldly pleasures specifically disagrees with God's word, then Christians are to turn away from the world in order to obey God. Praise God. It's not about the world that God has allowed us to be in, that we are to go live in a tower like a monk and separate ourselves. No. The Bible says, be in the world, but not of the world. God's using you and I now for a specific plan. And that is to win others to Christ. And the only way we're going to win is to preach the word. Plant the seed. Water the seed. And only God can give the increase. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on. Look at this. Look at what James says. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. So let's move on to verse 16, I believe. Let's go there right now. Yes, verse 16 of 1 John chapter 2. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of what? This world. This world. You see, saints, John warned his readers against loving the world and all that offers, because what the world offers is not from the Father. Jesus made clear this tension when he said, the world here as in what we've been reading, is the present evil system that is ruled by Satan and that it's opposed to God. Everything in this world, did you know who is the prince of the power of the air? Is Satan. He's ruling this world right now until Jesus comes and tosses them into the lake of fire. How many can't wait for that day? And so, my friends, this world has rebelled and fallen into sin. That's why when we're thrust out of our mother's womb, we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. That's why Jesus had to come to deliver us from that dilemma. You see, my friends, nothing in this world system loves the Father or finds its source in Him. John plays what the world offers in three basic categories. And these three categories are subjective, for they speak of attitudes of the heart. Oh, yes. You see, saints, believers may look perfectly clean and serene on the outside, but they may harbor any or all of these attitudes inside. You see, John feared that this might happen, so he was warning the believers to restrain from such desires. Let's look at the first one he talked about as we break down this verse of Scripture in verse 16. Number one, the lust for physical pleasure. The lust for physical pleasure. Oh, that's right. Saints, Jesus spoke of how adultery begins not with the act, but with the desire. Oh, yeah, I got proof. I got proof of the Word of God right up here. Look at this. In Matthew 5:28, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Wow. Wow. Just the lustful thought of it. Already, God says, we've committed that. Listen, men, be careful. Hey, you look at women. Oh, that's right. Don't undress her with your eyes. It'll be evident. When some women who are flashing and showing too much, I need to look away. Why? Because you won't be looking at their eyes. You'll be looking at something else. And I'm hoping that this is a teachable moment for us men. It applies to women as well. And so, saints, these words picture any kind of desire, but especially the craze for sex. Do you know that we live in a crazed sex world? Everything, commercials, TV, movies, billboards, everything's always about sex. And look how the girls dress nowadays, even in school. They got these little hoochie mama dresses on that's right past their butt line. Wow. Wow. At a tender young age. And no one's checking them at the door. Their parents should be checking them at the door. But they don't care. Why? Because maybe the mother dresses like that too. I don't know. But we live in a society like this, where there's temptation everywhere. And no doubt the people of ancient Ephesus understood this. It was the pagan religions of their city that glorified sex. Saints, the world today has many similarities, saints of God. Sex in all of its immoral and grotesque forms is splashed throughout movies and television, I just mentioned, magazines and computer screens. Oh, that's right. You could go to your phone where you don't have to hide and go into a movie theater like back in the day. When we were kids, I grew up in National City. There was one theater that was on National Boulevard across from Mario's Pizza. It was called the Paris Pussycat Theater. And you would see a bunch of military guys go in, a lot of Navy guys, because the base was close by. But now, Satan and his evil mastermind said, I see that they're shameful for going in and they're hiding to go in. I'm going to make it convenient where they could be in the privacy of their own room and put it on the electronic device now. My goodness, saints of God, We are in the last days. I hope you know that. See, this appeals to the sinful nature. And while this category seems to refer mostly to sexual lust, it could include any sort of selfish or greedy cravings simply to satisfy one's physical desires and rebelling against God. Let's look at number two. Number two, the lust for everything we see. There's some things that God says, man, don't even ask for that. Let it go. Leave it alone. I've seen some people that have gone over their head because they have a lustful heart. They charge up their credit cards. They buy automobiles and houses, and they don't even have room to put $2 in the offering basket because they're so inundated with debt. Oh, that's right. It's the lust for everything we see. And so there must be balance in our life, saints of God. If you put God first, He will show you how to utilize this beautiful life that He has given us. But you got to allow Him to operate in your life. Because the world system wants you to have all the pleasure you can have. And that was the lie from the Garden of Eden. And then sin will take its toll and we will crash and burn. You see, saints of God, sins of craving and accumulating possessions, bowing to the God of materialism, could be placed in this category as well. While sex may also be included here, people's eyes can lust after many things, and believers must not become obsessed with that on everything that they see. Praise God, praise God. Look what the book of Hebrews says right here. Look at this. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. What does that mean? We are pilgrims passing through. We're not to be married to this world. We're not to hold on to anything here. We're not to grasp anything here. Why? Because we're on our way to heaven. He saved us for purpose, to preach the gospel, to live a godly life, and then we're going home to be with Him. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? Huh? Look at this right up here. Look what I found here in 1 Peter 2:11. I'm going to read this out of the Living Bible version. Look at this. Dear brothers, you are only visitors here since your real home is in heaven. I beg you to keep away from the evil pleasures of this world. They are not for you, for they fight against your very souls. Wow. There it is. Believe it or not, but that's what the Word of God says. Praise God, I found this version in the Living Bible version because it's clearly stated there. And so let's look at our third point, pride in our possessions. Wow. Pride in our possessions. You see, saints, this refers to both the inward attitude and the outward boasting because of an obsession with others, one's status or possessions. Oh, yeah. You heard it said like this. I want what they have next door. Man, my neighbor's just got a pool. Man, I need to get a swimming pool too. Listen, you want to swim in that pool? Go take them a pie. Be their friend. They'll invite you to swim in their pool. But God's not telling you to get in a $250,000 debt just because you want to swim every now and then. You want to swim? Go to the gym. You can swim every day there. But why get in debt if you don't have the money to do it? That's the problem. We want things that we cannot afford. And yet, we'll tap out our cards to have all these temporary pleasures when God is saying, be a good steward of what I've given you. Manage your money. Manage your life. Put God first and all the things will fall in place for you, my friends. I know this is a tough teaching for some of you, but I have to preach God's truth. I'm not going to jump over and leapfrog over these scriptures. Why? because they're there for us. They're there for our growing, to strengthen our faith, so we would understand what God expects from our life. And so all three categories, saints of God, what do they show? They show selfishness and greed. Yet these sins, so subtle as to begin almost unnoticed within the heart, become the temptations that lead to the sins of the outworkings in people's life. And so we got to break down one last verse of scripture here, and it's found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. And the word of God reads, "And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Say that with me at home, saints of God. "But he who does the will of God abides forever." You see, saints, the people who live in rebellion to God with their transient, unfulfilling desires are focusing on a world that is already fading away. The workaholic will die unfulfilled. The greedy politician will die in despair. The pleasure-mad partygoers will find their lives ruined by drugs and alcohol. Indulgence never satisfies. It only whets the appetite for more. Christians, however, saints of God, understand that the world will not last forever and that no one's lives on this planet will live forever. And because they are believers who do the will of God, like you and I, however, they will live forever. You and I will live forever. And we are to what? Turn away from the sinful world and hold on to God means to hold on to the eternal life that God has given you and I. Those who trust in God have already began life everlasting. My friends, I'm here to let you know, soon and very soon, Jesus is coming. He's coming again. And I can't wait. How many can't wait for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, that's right. Listen, he's coming to save those who have been called by God. Not everyone who has ears will hear. Not everyone who has eyes will see what God has prepared to those who love him. But Jesus is coming. And he's going to come in the clouds. And he's going to take us home. I've got proof in the Word of God. Look at this. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Look at this. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive will remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." Asleep meaning died already. They're in their graves. "For the Lord himself," say that with me at home, "for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first." Look at this. "Then we," say that with me at home, "then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord." Where? In the air. "And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Listen, saints, it even confirms what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Look at this. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery." This was all a mystery to us at one time. "We shall not all sleep," meaning we shall not all die and be put in the grave, "but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised," what? "Incorruptible. And we shall be," what? "Changed." Praise God. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Wow. saints, praying for those who don't know Christ. Be bold. This is the time to stand and be bold for our faith. This is a time to plant and to water. This is a time to go to your loved ones and tell them the truth. Tell them to be mournful and sorrowful over their sin. Tell them to repent before a holy God. Why? Before it's too late. Because it'll be too late when God takes us home. He will take not only us home, but He will remove the convictor who convicts them of their sin. And that's the Holy Spirit. And then they will be left alone here on this earth with the Antichrist and the false prophet, which will be horrible. There'll be death and disease and plague and disasters everywhere during the tribulation. Nobody wants to go through the tribulation. That's why God is given an opportunity right now. But if you don't act, if you're tuned in right now, you never given your heart to Jesus, don't let this, what you're about to see, happen to you. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
Wow, that's always going to be the million-dollar question. Are you ready? Are you ready? I hope you are ready. I believe many that I know that are in the faith are ready. But if you just logged in and you never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, here are the key scriptures for you. Let's put them on the screen right now. This was the very first sermon that Peter preached, the apostle, when he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Look at this. "For the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as our Lord God will call." I want to give a great big shout out to my niece Monica Sullivan. She took heed and she cried out to God, and my brother-in-law Brent Weber baptized her in Jesus' name. And we rejoice and we praise God, because that's the way to get the Father's attention. That's the way to repent of your sins and to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and to be ready for Him to take us home. Oh, that's right. And so I'm going to give that opportunity to you right now. If you're watching, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask right now, that you bow your heart and your head with me. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's logged in to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would repent and give your heart to Christ. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Someone just got saved. Look, our banner's down below. Log on and reach out to us. We want to hear from you. If you're giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to put a Bible in your hand. We want to point you to a church that will teach and preach the unadulterated Word of God. And my friends, we want to thank and praise God for each and every one of you that have donated to Amazing Grace to keep us going. And so I have a QR code. It's a new code. And all you have to do is scan that right there with your phone, and you can bless the house of God, for donations are deeply appreciated. So I'll give you a moment just to scan that on your phone, and then you can bless the household of faith, the house of God. Praise God. Praise God. We are so blessed. How many are so blessed? Praise God that you have joined us this evening. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you do. I thank and praise God for the saints of God at Amazing Grace. I thank God for our friends and family that are walking with Christ. And I pray that maybe, just maybe, one of you who gave your heart to Christ will start their brand new adventure with God. And so, my friends, I'm looking forward to seeing you this coming Sunday at 10 a.m. We're having a special guest singer. Kedma Wentz will be with us. Brother Andre and Deacon Angel Gonzalez on the drum, Pastor Andre Manati on the guitar, and Sister Kedma Wentz on vocals. I can't wait. It's going to be so anointed. It's going to be power-packed. And then I'll have a word for those who God gives ears to hear and eyes to see what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. And so, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, I leave you our benediction. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you. God bless you. And we look forward to seeing you this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. We're in the Little White Chapel right there on the hill. God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday morning. Good night now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.